everybody else, if they want to find a seat, go ahead. You're stuck listening to me for the next half hour or so. Wait a second, let it quiet down. Yeah, go ahead. If you're in here, go ahead, grab a seat. We'll go ahead and shut those doors in the back. Have a little few minutes by ourselves. I feel like everyone is so far away today because we had to put the chairs back because of the kids dancing up here. So I may end up just walking down the aisle and talking to you because I feel like you are so far away. So thanks for coming out. And again, parents, we really appreciate the fact that that you let us be with your kids for 5 weeks. I know they had a great time. And thanks for bringing them here today. I know it's on a Sunday morning. Sometimes it's hard to get out the door, so just thank you for being here. But I want to spend a few minutes really, quite frankly, just talking about parenting today. It seemed like it would be a good topic on a day like today. And for me, as I said, one of the highlights so far at Village Community Church has to be the summer camp. It doesn't get any better than seeing people baptized like we did last week, seeing people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But a close second behind that for me is seeing the kids here at summer camp. And the thoughts that have been running through my mind as I see them up here every day, and then as I get older, I'm 43 now, the thought that crossed my mind is, a shout out for 43, is that, curse you, is that, you know, time is short. Time is short. The period of time that I have with my kids, I have a 4-year-old daughter and a soon-to-be 9-year-old son, is that the time really does fly by. You don't believe it until it happens. And that the stakes, quite frankly, are high. That when it comes to parenting for me and for all of us in the room, that the stakes are pretty high. And that we want to be the best parents that we can be. And the thing about being a good parent is simply this, is that, you know, God isn't looking for perfect parents, thank goodness, right? He's not looking for perfect parents, but he is looking for willing parents. He's looking for parents that want to be the best parents that they can be, that want to make an impact and a difference in their kids' lives. And if you got a bulletin when you came in this morning, on the back of it, there's some fill-in-the-blanks, and I put those in there to keep you awake. No, I actually put those in there so that, you know, you have something to leave with, and that is the first fill-in-the-blank for today, is that God is not looking for perfect parents, but he is looking for willing parents. And we have a mission statement here at Village Community Church. It says, we exist to give people an opportunity to become fully engaged followers of Christ. And it's something that we believe in. It's not just a mission statement that's on a piece of paper, that's on a website. But one of the key words in that mission statement is, we exist to give people an opportunity. We realize that as a church, I realize as a pastor, that I can't force anybody to do anything. Same is kind of true with parenting. We can't force our kids to do anything. But as a parent, what we want to do is we want to give our kids the opportunity to experience a full life, to experience the fullness of what God created them to be. And so we don't have to be perfect, but we have to be willing. And I take encouragement from that because I know what God does, and I've seen him do it in my life, is God fills in the gaps. Because none of us, again, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to blow it, we're going to discipline our kids the wrong way, we're not going to discipline them when we should, we're not going to encourage them down the right path at times, but the good news is that God fills in those gaps for us, because God's love for me, God's love for you, God's love for our children is so much greater than our love for our children, and he'll fill in those gaps, and I'm living proof of that. I'm what you call a 6 percenter. I bet you no one knows what a 6 percenter is because I just made that up, but what that is statistics tell us that if you're raised in a home where neither the mother or the father go to church, that you only have a 6% chance of becoming a follower of Christ. See, I didn't grow up in a home that talked about God. I never went to church my whole life. God was irrelevant in our home, but I had great parents. I loved my parents. My parents did a great job raising me, but they missed the big picture of faith in my life. But at the age of 31, God revealed to me the need I had for a relationship with him and how I could find that through Jesus Christ. So even though maybe my parents missed the boat when it came to faith, God filled in the gap in my life. And so again, I'd say that to encourage us here as parents here this morning, knowing that God will fill in the gaps for us. But I don't say that, obviously, as a license not to try and not to do a good job. It doesn't matter. God's going to take care of it anyway. That's not the point. The point is that we don't need to be perfect, but we need to be willing. So what I want to do, I've got about 20, 25 minutes because we've got some hillbilly barbecue, and I think I can smell it, and so I know that after about 20 minutes, I'm going to lose your attention span. So you came on a good day. If this is your first day, you're going to get a short sermon. So, But what I want to do, I want to take a look at Scripture and just pick out a few passages and say, what does it say about parenting? How can we get a better perspective on what it means to be a parent? And how can we maybe get a little better direction in our lives for what it means to be a parent? So before I do that, let's go ahead and pray and just ask for God's guidance. Well, Father, we just thank you that you love us so much. God, thank you that that you care deeply about us. God, thank you that you brought all of us here this morning, God, to just to experience the joy on the kids' faces. God, thank you that that you're working in our children's lives. Thank you that you are filling in the gaps. But we just surrender these next 20, 25 minutes to you, Father, and ask that you would teach us, that you would guide us through your scriptures. Holy Spirit, help me to say the words that need to be spoken. Help me to give the examples that need to be given here this morning that would connect with those that you have brought here. And open all our hearts, including mine, here this morning to receive your truth, to receive your guidance, to receive your encouragement. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to read a verse to you. It's from the Psalms, and it's a New Living Translation. I will normally, almost 95% of the time, I read from the NIV, and if you need a Bible, you can pick one up at the info desk. We have them for free, but don't go ahead and look this one up because it's going to sound a little bit different, and when I read it, you'll kind of recognize this verse. But Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." Children are a gift. We've heard children are a blessing, right? This is the scripture that it comes from. It says, children are a gift to us. And that's really important. I think we all kind of nod our head and say, yeah, I know, I get that. But it's a really important perspective for us to start off with because for me, sometimes it's hard to remember that children truly are a gift and they're not a burden. If you're like me, sometimes it's easy to think of my children as burdens and forget that they're actually a gift from God. It's hard, isn't it? Let's be honest. Sometimes when you have a two-year-old and they blow out their third diaper in a row, all right? It's hard to think about that is a gift from God. It's 9:30 at night. I'm exhausted from work. My kids are arguing. They won't go to bed. The last thought I have in my mind is, man, these little children are a gift from God. No, they're a burden. Go to bed. I need my space. And so, but it's important to know and to recognize those times when we feel that way, that our children somehow are a burden, to remember that's not true. They're a gift from God. They are a blessing from God. And the reason it's hard sometimes, at least for me, is because it really clashes with our selfishness. You know, being a parent does that. You know, we're all got at some level, we're all selfish. If we don't think we are, then that's just evidence that you're selfish. Because at some level, we all have selfish tendencies in our lives. And for me, I like quiet. I like time. I like my own space. Okay, I have a four-year-old daughter who is a nut, who's crazy, and I love her. And you're laughing because you know her. And she's the opposite of what I want. I want that peace and that quiet, and I want that order. I want that structure. And she's not like that. And so if I don't recognize that, I start to view her as a problem in my life and as a burden in my life, and I easily slip and forget that she is a gift from God because it tests us. Parenting really tests our patience, but it's gonna bring out in us those selfish tendencies we have. Children are a gift from God. That's the first thing I want to talk about is perspective. The second one comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And if you do have a Bible, again, it looks like this. It's on page 182. Verse 1 and 2 says this. These are the commandments, the decrees and the laws your Lord directed me to teach you. Now let me set this up real quickly before I go any further. What this verse is, Moses has been given the Ten Commandments from God, and then Moses then gave them to the nation of Israel. And this is the verse, the chapter that's coming right off of that scene. So God gave Moses the Ten Commandments saying, go live this way. And then Moses gave it to the people saying, this is what God gave to us. And this is what follows that. It says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. The key part of that verse is, so that you, your children and your children may raise up in the fear of the Lord. Now, I get out of context, that may sound a little bit strange, that we're supposed to raise our kids up to fear God, because most of us, when we think about fear, we have the wrong idea of what it means. You know, we were afraid that something's going to happen to us, and we fear God might punish us. But when the scriptures talk about the fear of God, it's not that we need to fear God's punishment, because we know through Christ his grace is abundant, that the grace that we can find in Jesus Christ covers anyone who receives Christ into their life. We don't fear God because of punishment, but what the scripture talks about is that we should have an awe, a reverence for God, for who he is, the one who created our children. And so as a parent, what we want to do is we want to show this to our children. We want to raise them up to have this awe, to have this reverence, and have this desire to follow God and his will for their lives. There's a pastor in Oklahoma City called Craig Groeschel at Life Church. And when it comes to parenting, he takes those two verses and he summarizes it this way. And it's the next fill in the blank for you. He summarizes those two verses by saying this. And when I heard this the first time, it really transformed my viewpoint, my perspective on parenting. So maybe it will do that for a few of you here. But it says, a parent's priority is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from them until it rests solely on God. And this would be strange, but someone give me a cup of water. That'd be great, because I spilled it during worship, and I need some. So a parent's priority is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from them until it solely rests on God. That could be tough. Again, remembering that our children are a gift can be tough, but for parents, it's sometimes tough to do that, because when our kids come into the world, man, they need us. They literally can't live without us. Unless we feed them, they're going to die. And then as they get older, what do? We teach them how to read. And as they get older, we teach them about relationships. And as they get older, we teach them about working, and we teach them about money. And it's what we do. We have to help our kids a lot. But as a parent, it's important to recognize that our ultimate goal is not to raise children who are dependent upon us, but it's to raise children who are solely dependent on the God who created them. That's really the position we want our kids to be in, because we're not always going to be there for them, right? I love you, Josh. Thank you. Brought me the venti. Thank you very much. Now I can yell and scream. Good. All right. Just kidding. No, we want to raise our kids to be dependent upon God. A lot of us have probably often heard that, you know, that mother birds like to push their baby birds out of the nest so they can learn to fly. And I did some research, and it seems like the best research, that's pretty much a myth. For the most part, birds don't do that. There may be a couple species that actually do that, but mother birds don't actually push their birds out of the nest to learn to fly. But the eagles, what an eagle does is this. A mother eagle will go ahead, and when you have a newborn baby, they have to feed it. They will go out, they'll make a kill, they'll bring it back to the nest for the baby bird to eat. The next step they do is, when they believe that the bird gets mature enough, what they will do, they'll go make that kill, they'll kill a mouse, a rat, whatever the case may be. They won't bring it back to the nest this time. They'll go to the perch right next to it as a way to entice the kids to take that next step. To learn that, hey, not the kids, but the baby bird, to take that next step, that maybe you can fly, maybe you can do something. And in one respect, I think it's a good picture of parenting, the place that we want to get with our children. We don't want them always dependent upon us, but we want to push them towards a place where they can kind of live on their own. But the difference is, as we just talked about, where we want them to be is not a place of self-reliance, but a place where they rely upon God and they trust God and they follow God. So we try to push them to that place away from us in some respects. And I know it's hard for moms in this room to hear that. We're always going to be with our children, but in some respects, we want to push them towards God. As a parent, you know, my hope and my prayer someday is that my son Andrew, he got baptized last week, which is a great next step for him. For a parent, it was so awesome to see. But my hope for Andrew someday that he'll come to me and say, Dad, man, I love you. Dad, you've been good to me, but I got to be honest with you, I love Jesus more. I can trust him more than I can trust you. If I can hear my son say that someday, I will be a proud parent, because I know that he's getting it, that he's learning that it's not about what Dad says to do, but it's learning about to trust God with your whole life, and learning to love God with your whole heart, knowing that God is the one who has the ultimate plan for his life, not his mother or his father. So that's the perspective I believe that we need to have on parenting, but how do we do that? how do we accomplish that? And Thank goodness Scripture has an order and a reason to it, because Deuteronomy chapter 6 does not end with verse 2, but it goes on. And it goes on to give us a little more instruction on what it looks like to raise our kids that way. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. They'll also be on your screen. These verses say this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And here's the important part: "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." Wake up. It says adults. It really isn't talking directly solely to parents, but obviously it's in context. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then what do you do with that? You impress that. You stamp that belief onto your children. It talks, what it's really talking about is, in order to be an effective parent, I believe Scripture says we need to have godly leadership. That effective parenting requires godly leadership. There's this great quote, and you're going to have to listen really carefully to it, else you'll miss it. But Edward Duke of Windsor says this. I have no idea who this dude is, but he said something that struck me. He said this: "The thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children." I think it brings up a great question to us. Who's leading who when it comes to children and parent relationships? Are we as parents really leading our children? Or if we take a step back and we look about our lives and what they look like, or maybe our children in some ways, and maybe in a lot of ways for some of us, they're actually leading us. You know, as a pastor, when I run into people that haven't been to church for a long time or for a season, they always feel the need to tell me why. You don't have to do that, okay? So if I don't see you for another 6 months, it's cool. You don't need to tell me why. It's really not important. That's between you and God. I don't need to know. But people like to tell me the reason why. And this is the number one excuse I get. Well, we haven't been to church because Johnny's on the football team and they play on Sunday mornings. Now think about that. The Scripture is saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength, and then impress that upon your children. Now, I know that's an easy example, that's an easy jab at times to give to parents in their room, but it says, who's leading who? Are you leading your children, or are they leading you? Let's say you have a preteen son who comes to you and says, Mom and Dad, the basketball team's having a sleepover. Can I go over? Sure can. It sounds good. Whose house are you staying at? Well, I'm staying at Jimmy's house. Okay, what are you guys going to do? Well, I think we're just going to watch a movie. And well, what movie are you watching? It's something called American Pie, number 8 or 9. You know what I'm talking about, all right? All right, so you got this 12-year-old son who's been invited over to watch a movie called American Pie. It's rated R. It has nudity in it. It has profanity in it. And it's rated R for a reason. Let's just say that. Okay, he comes to you, and you're like, I don't think that's a good idea. But he says, come on, Mom, the whole team's going. Everyone's going to be there. If I don't go, I'll be the only one. I'm not going to have any friends if you don't let me go. What would you do? What would you do? I think all of us would probably pause at least and think about what would we do. Maybe our natural tendency is to say, okay, I get it. We don't want you to feel like an outcast. Go ahead. Just close your eyes when those scene comes on. I trust you. Or do we kind of say, you know what? These are going to be some tough decisions in life you're going to have to make. Sometime the crowd's going to go a different direction than God wants you to go. And this is one of those learning experiences. You know what? I know it's hard for you that you're going to feel like an outsider now because of this. But let me tell you that you don't need to feel that way, because you've got a God who loves you more than your friends do. And if they're really your friends, they're going to understand. They'll be with you when it's over. See, that's godly leadership. And I don't stand up here saying that I would always do the right thing, because I think there's temptations for all of us. But what we need to realize is that we're going to have those temptations, but when it comes down to it, we're the parents. We need to lead, and it needs to be godly leadership. Again, verse 5, parents, you first love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength. I know some of us in this room are thinking, dude, I am so far away from that. I don't even love God with half my heart. Now you're telling me I'm supposed to love God with all my heart. I don't even know anything about God. I'm only here because my kid made me come. And I'm telling you, you're not as far away as you think you are. You may think you're really far away from loving the Lord your God and being a godly leader in your life, not only to your children, but to your spouse. You're not that far away. And I could say that because one time I thought I was far away. Like I told you, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't have any good thoughts about God. God was irrelevant, didn't want anything to do with religion, with Christianity, with Jesus for 31 years of my life. Then one day God, like that, opened my eyes saying, you have a need that needs to be filled. You need to be reconciled back to your Creator. You can have that through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And only because of the Holy Spirit, that made sense to me. But there are some of us in this room, and you're not that far away about doing it. It's not about getting your life in order. It's about surrendering your life to the God who created you through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're quite frankly just minutes away, a decision away from beginning that journey to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength and all your soul. It may take time to get there. The man I am today is not the man I was the day I made that decision. Don't get me wrong. And God's still transforming me day after day after day. My hope is that every year I look a little bit different. I hope I look like Jesus a little bit more year after year, that I'm growing in my faith. But you're really not that far away. And the reason it says, parents, you first love the Lord your God, and then impress that on your children. And quite frankly, I think this is the most important thing I'm going to say the next 5 minutes this morning is that being a parent, we must lead by example. We have to. We have to lead by example. That's why it tells us, hey, you first, Jeff, you love the Lord your God, and then you go impress that upon Andrew and Ellie. Because kids learn by what they see. It's the monkey see, monkey do principle, right? It's true. That's how kids are. Whatever they see us doing is what they're going to do. Where our kids find us experiencing joy and happiness, they're going to do those same things. When trouble comes along, how we respond to that, it's as kids are going to model that same thing for us. I love a story my mom told me once. I was 3 years old, and she was looking for me. She couldn't find me around the house. She looked in the backyard. She went to the neighbors. She still couldn't find me. And then finally, she heard the horn honking in the garage. And she goes out to the garage, and I'm sitting in the front seat as a three-year-old. And most of the kids left, but not all of them, so I'm going to keep it PG for you. I'm sitting behind the wheel of the car as a three-year-old saying, son of a gun, son of a gun. And I'm just cursing my head off, basically. That's because I just got out of the car with my dad. And dad, I love you because he listens to these. You were a great dad. But I saw my dad doing that, and that's what I ended up doing. That's the way it works. Monkey see, monkey do. Sometimes it's good, though. Sometimes it's good when we're giving the right example for our children. And I'll have to, and this isn't bragging on myself, but it's the example that popped in my head. The second song that we sang today is called Bless the Lord. Love that song. My favorite song right now. Every 6 months I get a new favorite song. That's why we sing it here almost every week, because I love it and I do have a little bit of say on what goes on around here. So I love Bless the Lord. So I'm always singing it around the house. And the other day I catch my son Andrew. He's there on the wall. He's got the spiky hair with the red shirt. And he's singing Bless the Lord. And I'm telling you, that meant something to me. But what it told me was he's watching and he's listening. What I'm saying and what I'm doing, and he's almost nine, he sees it, and he wants to model that. And as parents, we need to make sure we're giving a godly example to our children. And obviously, none of us are perfect. We all are not measuring up to exactly where we need to be. Thank goodness for the grace of God. I tell you, every morning I wake up saying, God, thank you for your grace. And thank you for your mercy. Without it, I have no hope. But I want to speak to maybe a few examples that maybe some of us are experiencing. And I do this only because I feel like God is leading me to share these. So if I'm saying this, maybe receive it as, you know, this isn't condemnation, but maybe God wants to speak to you this morning. See, some of us in this room, we try to escape from life. We try to hide from life, and we do that sometimes behind alcohol and behind drugs. It's why we have Celebrate Recovery here. That meets on Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings. See, we're not afraid to talk about things like that around here. It's part of life. But some of us are trying to do that, and we don't think our kids see and know. What God wants you to hear this morning is they see and they know. You think you may be hiding that from them, but you are not. And this is what they're learning. When they get old enough, and some of them are already old enough, and they have a bad day and they want to escape, where do you think they're going to turn to? Are they going to lean into the God who created them? Or are they going to do monkey see, monkey do, exactly what we do as parents? How do we treat women in our life? Do we encourage our girlfriend, our wife, whatever the case may be? Do we lift them up in front of our children? Or do we demean them? Do we treat them like sexual objects? Whatever we're doing, our kids are going to repeat. It's monkey see, monkey do. This may be one of the most challenging things I've ever said in whatever 18 weeks of Village Community Church, but God is not allowing me not to say it here this morning. And I set it up just simply by saying, you know, but for the grace of God, I would not have food on my table, I wouldn't have clothes on my back, and I wouldn't have a house to live in. All of us in this room, if God removed this grace from us, we would not have that. The reality is some of us in this room find ourselves in a position where we need help. We don't have enough. It's not there. We need some food. We need some help with school supplies. There's no shame in that. There is no condemnation. That is good. And it's okay to receive those things. But as parents, we need to be aware of what that can do if that's all we're ever doing. If all we're ever doing is taking things and we're never giving things or we're not serving, what our kids are going to grow up to do is believe is all I do is receive. I do not give. And I just say it as encouragement, as a challenge to if you find yourself in that position where you need help, and for this season of your life, maybe you just lost a job and you need it. It's so important as a parent that you're out there serving your friends, you're serving in the church, and you're modeling for your kids what it means to follow Christ, and not just to take, but to give back. Monkey see, monkey do. Should I name the talk monkey see, monkey do? It's what gets us in trouble, what gets me in trouble as a parent, because for most of us in this room, how we parent is the exact same way we saw our parents parent us. Not exactly. You know, over time I've changed, but a lot of what I did early on was exactly the same thing that my parents did to raise me. My parents were emotionally distant from me. Therefore, I was emotionally distant from my children. Thank goodness God made me aware of that. A day doesn't go by that I don't hug my kids and kiss them. They're probably sick of it at this point. I love you. I love you. I kiss them. I love you. I hug you. But for me, I was just doing what I saw done. And it's important for us to recognize maybe there's some of those things in our lives that we're just doing the same old things that our parents did. And that could be great. Some of you are raising your kids up to know Christ because that's how your parents raised you. Some of you are raising your kids to have a heart to serve others, and that's because of how your parents raised you. But that's not always the case. And maybe there's some things in our lives that we need to become aware of and we need to walk away from. Some of us are just plain old harsh to our children because our parents were harsh to us. When we screwed up, what did Dad do? Dad laid down the hammer, and he laid it down hard. That's all we learn, and that's all we do. Some of us grew up in an environment where we felt hopeless, right? We felt like there was no hope, that things were never good, because that's what our parents did. They talked about how there was no hope. They instilled in us this idea that life is as good as it's going to get. And some of us need to step away from that because we're doing the same or modeling the same thing for our kids. We need to recognize that and model for our kids that this is not as good as going to get. We have a big God who can do anything in our lives, and our lives can be so much more than they've always been. We need to continually be painting that picture from our kids. And as parents, when we do, we pass those things down from generation to generation to generation. We all do it. We all do it to some degree. Scripture talks about that as being just generational sin. There's patterns in our lineage that we just want to pass down. And one of the other important things that I want everyone to hear today, loud and clear, is that you can stop it. You can stop it. You can be the one who says, enough is enough. That's not how you treat children. You can stop it. You're not that far away from being able to do that. Well, Pastor Jeff, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. It's really not difficult. One, we need to be aware of what we do. We need to allow, as the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us this morning and giving us pictures, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I do. I'm doing exactly what my mom and dad did. I'm doing the exact same thing that my grandma did. One, we need to recognize that. But what we need to do, we need to, as I said early, not perfect parents, but willing parents. We need to have a desire, number one, to turn away from that. We need to have a desire to turn away from that. Scripture calls that repentance. You know, we hear the word repentance, and a lot of us, for us, it's just a, ugh, I don't like that word. It means because judgment goes along with it. Absolutely not. Repentance is one of the sweetest, freeing words that you're ever going to hear me say from this stage. Repentance is simply acknowledging that there are things in our lives that we need to turn away from. And as parents, there are patterns in our lives, and there are actions in our lives that we need to say, yesterday is the last day. God, and you, what do you turn away from that? You turn to God. You confess it to God. God, I don't want to live this way anymore, God. God, I need your help. Please give me the power to live out the life that you've called me to do. Give me the power to raise my kids the way you desire me to raise my kids. If you're a follower of Christ in here this morning, then what you do and how you see this happen is your life is you take hold of Romans 8, 1 and 2. I say if you're a follower of Christ. What I mean by that is if you're in this room and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins and that he raised from the grave, you're a follower of Christ. If you're trusting Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, not what you do, you've abandoned that you're going to make yourself good, and your hope is solely in the work of Jesus Christ, that means you're a follower of Christ. If that's you, then this is true about you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a verse a lot of us have heard. It's one that we need to believe in. Yes, we're going to screw up. Yes, but there's no condemnation. There's only the grace of God. When we come to him and we confess and we repent, the only thing we receive from God is what? Say it. Grace. We don't receive punishment. We don't receive a pound on the head. We receive grace. It's the only thing God gives us if we're in Christ. But that verse 2 is the one that's really important. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It's saying that you're a follower of Christ. God has placed his Holy Spirit in you. He has set us free from our tendencies to do the same old stupid things we've always done. And through the power of his Spirit, he has given us the ability to live in freedom and to live a new way and to create a new history, a new legacy for our family and for our children. It's available to anyone who is in Christ. Well, what if I'm not there yet? I'm glad you're here this morning. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. I wasn't always there. If you're not quite there yet, the best thing I can do is just to encourage you to come back maybe on another Sunday morning. Encourage you to check a box on the back of your connection card that says, I'd like to speak with a pastor or elder. I'd love to grab breakfast or just hang out here with you for a while and talk about those things. But ultimately, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Without surrendering our lives to Christ, there's no hope overcome those things in our past. If you're like me and you've tried to solve your problems by willpower, you've realized that it's impossible, right? I'm just going to do it different. I'm just going to change. You're always going to end up like I did, running into a brick wall. It's only when we're set free through that can only happen through a relationship with Jesus Christ that we have the power and we have the ability to live the life that God has called us to. So I want to end with this. It's your last fill in the blank if you happen to be following along. And this is a challenge for all of us here this morning. And maybe you're not a parent yet. Maybe you want to be a parent someday. But even if you're not a parent in this room, but you want to be an influence in the lives of people around you, your friends, your coworkers, this same statement I'm about to read is true for you. But parents, I encourage you to embrace this and to receive this challenge. It says, ultimately, we can't teach what we don't know, and we can't lead to the places we have never been. As parents, God hasn't given us all the answers. You go through Scripture, and the reality of Scripture says very little about parenting when it comes to other subjects like marriage. But He's given us a great roadmap right here. Parents, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, and then impress these upon your children. If you have a connection card here this morning, we like to do next steps around here if you have not been here before. And the reason we do next steps is because I believe that it's just a waste of time to come to church on a Sunday and not walk away with anything practical to do about it. And so that's why we have next steps. If you have a connection card, go ahead and look on the back. There are two next steps that you can take. These are also on the back of your bulletin. So if you turn in your connection card today, you're still going to have those when you leave. But this is a next step that I believe a lot of us in this room can take, and it's simply this. I will ask myself, do my children see me loving the Lord, all my God, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Think about it this week. Is that what my children are seeing? And number two, I will ask God to help me put an end to the generational sin and unhealthy patterns of my parents. If God's illuminated anything to you today, as He has done to me as I prepared for this talk, take that next step. Allow yourself to be the end of that pattern that's been going on in your family. Start a new path and a new way for your children. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Scriptures. Thank You, God, that they're here to teach us, to encourage us, to give us direction, and to give us hope. Father, I pray that You would seal in the hearts and minds of all of us that one big thing that You revealed to us here this morning. I ask that we wouldn't walk away here and forget that big thing, but that it would almost be a burden for us until we address it, until we deal with it. And I just want to take a moment just to speak to those in the room who are here and you came in this morning thinking you don't know why you were coming. That was me 12 years ago. I had no idea why I went to church one day. But as I was there, I felt God was speaking to me. So I want to talk to anyone in this room as we're just praying right now who feels as though that God is talking to them, that you, maybe today you're recognizing that I don't have a relationship with the God who created me, that I'm not living under His grace and His mercy because you've yet to surrender your life and to put your trust into the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Earlier in my talk, I said, you're not as far away as you think. Right now, I want to give you an opportunity to cross that line of faith, to begin that journey of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If there's anyone in this room who senses that call from God right now, who feel as though as God is opening their eyes to a new reality of who Jesus is, and you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, as everyone bows their head and closes their eyes, if there's anyone in this room who wants to take that next step, would you please raise your hand? Thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to begin that journey of following Jesus? This is a safe place to do that in. What God has for us is not punishment or condemnation, but He's got mercy, grace, strength, and power to overcome. Anybody who wants to receive that for the first time here this morning? Father, I pray for those who have made decisions for you right now. Father, I ask that you would encourage them, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would release your love in them right now, God, that you would overflow them with your mercy and your grace. And Father, I just simply close by saying I thank you that you came to give us new life. Not better life, but a new life. So I thank you for the new life you have given me and the new perspective you have given me about being a parent. I pray this in Christ's name. Well, we like to close service here often by doing communion. We're not doing communion today because we've got a lot of people here. We've got some barbecue to eat. But I want to close just by thanking God for what He has done through summer camp, thanking God for the folks in this room who made decisions to follow Christ this morning. So would you stand up and join us in one last song?